Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 23 of the Lose Weight, Create Life podcast. My name is Ryan Tomko, and today we're joined by my friend Sean Block. Sean is another podcaster as well. You can check his podcast, Soul Tears, out wherever you're listening to this podcast. Sean has a really good story about his weight loss journey. And the one thing I really think is most interesting about Sean is the development of his mindset throughout his weight loss journey and as he continues to keep the weight off. If you enjoyed today's episode, please feel free to share this episode with a friend, somebody you feel this message may be of use to. With that, let's get into today's episode. Sean, thank you so much for joining me this morning. I'm very excited we were able to get together and make this happen. Thank you so much for being with me this morning.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
So Sean, give us a little insight into your weight loss journey. What got you started? How have you stayed so consistent over this time? What got you going?
Well, Ryan, it's been kind of a long struggle. I've always been a little bit heavy, overweight, for quite a while. But a few years ago, I was going through some really hard things. I was going through a breakup, and I was really suffering with anxiety and depression and really just really having a hard time. And, you know, I was working with my doctor and we were trying, you know, different things and, you know, different medications and, you know, trying different things. And so, you know, after a while, things kind of settled down and we kind of found, you know, kind of a combination or a medication that was helping. But all of a sudden I started gaining weight. And soon after that, I gained like, you know, at least 20 to 25 pounds within like a month or two. And yeah. I had to deal with that decision. Well, okay, do I want to be lighter and mentally unwell or a little heavier and mentally well and deal with the side effects? And I had been a little bit heavy for sure, but now I'm getting really, you know, into a place I'm not really comfortable with. And so I was, you know, really upset with that. But I wanted to be well. So, you know, after a couple of months, I was talking to my doctor and he's like, well, I don't really want to change anything because you're doing well. Sure. And maybe what I can do is give you some, you know, medication to help you lose the weight. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. More medication is not the answer. I don't want to take more medication to fix medication that, you know, cause side effects.
Right.
So I was just so frustrated. And about that time, so this was about a year ago and our company does something really good. They have a health company comes in and does screenings for the employees. It's like a quick screening. You take a prick of blood. They give you your numbers, like your cholesterol and your blood pressure and different things like that. And I hadn't taken it before. And before it wasn't great, but this time it was just off the charts. My cholesterol was 100 points higher than it ever was. My blood pressure was up. All my numbers were just not good. And, you know, they don't give advice there. They don't tell you what to do, but they pointed at the charts and they said, you know, your numbers are on the high side. You know, maybe you recommend you see your doctor. So I went to see my doctor and he caught me in touch with a nutritionist. And I'm like, great. I got a nutritionist. I went to the nutritionist and it didn't work really well. She was really more focused on emotional eating. And I was having some physical issues with things. So with like medication and so I gained another 10 pounds. And so I'm like, I'm going in the wrong direction, Ryan. I don't know what to do. You know, like I said, the good news is I'm feeling a little bit better mentally, but you know, being outside your comfort weight zone, as you know, is really uncomfortable and that can cause, you know, depression and anxiety in itself, you know? Yeah. So you fix your depression and anxiety with medication, and then you get depressed and anxious because you're the side effects, right?
Right.
It's not fair.
It's interesting. It's interesting. You
know, yeah, isn't it? It's like, how can you win, right?
Right.
So about this time, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to just rely on medication. I'm not going to try to fix medication to fix my medication or whatever.
Right.
And so somebody had told me about one of the things that I had in my mind was that I just needed to reduce sugar. I didn't know what program to do or whatever, but I just felt like I was drinking or just eating too many foods with sugar, sweets. You know, I wasn't eating horrible, but definitely like a lot of processed food and, you know, convenient items and things like that.
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of looking around, and a friend of mine had given me this, told me about this Whole 30 program, which is, I'm sure you probably heard of.
Right.
It's a 30-day like program to kind of reset and kind of get you going. And so I picked up the book and I read the book and I said, you know what? This sounds like something I can do. I like challenges. It's 30 days, right? It's 30 solid days. You have rules. I like rules. I want to, you know, I want to have like, tell me exactly what I need to do. I'm a rule follower. So if you give me the rules, I'll generally follow them, right?
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, I don't know how much you want me to get into the program, but in itself, just doing that 30 days and getting the discipline. And I just started, you know, feeling a little bit better. And I started feeling like more, a little more energy and things like that. And from there, that was about last October till now, I've totally changed the way I eat. My energy level is higher. And I reduced not only the weight that I gained during medication, but well past that. So I'm at a, you know, I'm getting towards a more comfortable weight for myself. So that's kind of where my latest journey with weight loss.
Right. Now, what do you think it was about the Whole 30 program that helped you stay consistent for so long? Was it the rules that were in place there? Or was it, you know, did you kind of have your own aha moment in your head that just kind of helped you going forward? What do you think it was?
I think it was the rules, Ryan. I really think that they specified a list of rules. And, you know, doing more research after, some of the rules people didn't agree with, like other nutritionists might not agree with this rule or that rule or whatever.
Sure.
But the idea that there was a set rule, and their theory was basically, and I'm not an expert on Whole 30 for your listeners, but I've gone through it and it's worked for me. But their theory is, okay, reduce a lot of things that have extra sugar. So if the first thing is anything that has additional sugar, for 30 days, you can't have it. And you can't have any sweeteners. So we're talking drinking coffee black. We're talking, you know, maybe iced tea, but no stevia or no sugar. So no sweeteners. The idea is to get yourself trained not to rely on like the sweeteners and get your body not used to having all that, you know, sugar and stuff.
Yeah.
So that that rule in itself was really helpful and incredibly hard. I mean, everything has sugar, man. Everything.
Right. Yes.
it's not the sugar you find in naturally. It's just the added sugar.
Right.
So like every salad dressing has sugar. When I went out to eat, it became a challenge for definitely that month. But the rules were really cool, and then the theory and strategy of it for this program is to reduce some of the things that, you know, may cause inflammation as well, that have a lot of sugar. So one of the things is I gave up dairy, and I've had dairy for my whole life. I love dairy. I love milk, but, I did, that was another rule that I stopped. And to this day, I haven't had dairy. And what I've noticed again, that helped me reduce, like, I guess some inflammation, but I just felt better not having milk. And I didn't realize that milk was causing anything. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
So it's one of those reset diets kind of programs where you eliminate things and then you slowly put them back and just see what bothers you.
Right.
So that 30 days, I followed all these rules. And then at the end of 30 days, they said, okay, well, rule one, you can, you know, have dairy back a little bit and keep everything else consistent. And how do you feel? Okay. Now put dairy back. Now have beans and legumes. How do you feel? Yeah. So you did that with like four different, I don't exactly know the numbers, but four different food groups or different things to kind of get a feel of what bothered you. And I noticed that dairy was definitely one of the things that bothered me.
Sure.
And so I have been consistent with that. Now, after the 30 days, you generally guidelines is to eat the way you did during that 30 days. But like I said, you can add things back. So I have kind of slowly over the last year, you know, added things back in moderation that I like. I've still really not had a lot of carb, like a lot of breads.
Sure.
That's one area I haven't had in other things. But overall, I think for me, my personality type, the rules really helped.
Yeah, no, I can definitely relate to that because I know when I started the 75 hard program a couple months ago, it very, like you said, very straight up. The rules are very clear and you follow them specifically. And that is more of a mental health thing. However, it definitely translates to your physical health as well. And I noticed both mental clarity and physical body. Like, I just grew so much in that time. So I definitely understand the connection there. It's really amazing. Now, what do you think was the hardest thing for you to give up then with your nutrition? Was there something that stands out to you that was extremely difficult to let go of?
Cake, cookies, ice cream. I mean, I definitely love cookies. I mean, just
yeah.
So, I work in a corporate environment, and every Friday we have bagels. And it's funny, we have a health program, but we still have bagels and donuts on Friday.
Right.
I'll give us credit. We have oatmeal and yogurt as well. So we have healthy choices too. But, just hardest thing for the diet is not grabbing things around the office, not grabbing candy from the candy jar. It's not, we always have extra food around, and right. it's eating just what's around instead of planning for it. So right. giving up, just being disciplined not to do that. That was hard. Pizza. I'm honest with you. I love pizza.
Yes.
And I'll tell you one thing about the Whole30 that they got in my head was, like, there are a lot of like cauliflower. There's a lot of good pizzas you can eat that are much healthier, right?
Right.
But during those 30 days, they want you to break the habit of eating those type of foods in general. So even if you remade pizza with all the healthiest ingredients during that 30 days, they didn't want you to like rely on eating pizza, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or that theory. So, that was interesting. So those were part of the rules as well. But, I have been reluctant. It's August and I started this in, November of last year. Yeah. I started actually during Thanksgiving, which the book clearly says, do not try this during the holiday season. It said in red letters, do not do this.
Yeah.
And the reason I started was because every year around the holidays, I gained 10 pounds or something, right?
Yeah.
So I figured if I waited, now I'm going to have to start 10 pounds more. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, so that was kind of crazy. But all those rules were crazy. And giving up, I guess, if my top three would be probably pizza would be one, like spaghetti with garlic oil and garlic and, oh, it's so good. Like the pastas. Yeah. But I learned that there's other things I like to eat that were working for the program. Like, for instance, mm-hmm. one of the big changes I made in my life was eating breakfast. I never really ate breakfast, or if I ate breakfast, it would be like a bowl of cereal. Often I would think it was healthy, but it would be like Honey Nut Cheerios or, something, or Life cereal and with milk. And it wasn't, it was food, but it wasn't probably the healthiest. But I didn't have a full breakfast. And now, like, I've been disciplined to, like, make a couple eggs, have an occasional slice of bacon once in a while, and some fruit. And I've really gotten to eating berries. And so having that breakfast has been a really good base. And then I can usually make it to lunch without snacking. And snacking has always been a big deal for me. I always have snacks around and stuff. So then having getting to lunch and then having we have a organic salad bar. So my guilty pleasure every day, it's not a bad thing, but I spend a little extra money and get like this really good salad with all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And then that lasts me generally till dinner. Sometimes I have like a small snack around four, but eating that breakfast starts me off well. And I don't have to necessarily eat right away. When I would get to work. The other thing that helped me was I used to think that when I woke up, I like to work out in the morning, like, like 6 a.m. workout.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I always thought is you had to get up earlier and eat a snack before you worked out. Otherwise, you had no energy. Mm. But since I've kind of changed my eating, I've generally not had to – I could do a 6 a.m. workout just with glasses of water without eating first and then eat breakfast after. So that's another kind of habit change that I've made. But yeah.
Yeah. I think the general school of thought, at least when most people try to start losing weight, it seems, is cut everything out. You know, we'll cut out just eating in general, and then we, you know, eat like, you know, birds and try to or squirrels and stick to like really just really nothing, like a bunch of nuts, seeds, and maybe eggs. But that's a big thing I hear a lot about too, and I know I can relate to what you said there before, because I was never eating breakfast as well. And I was never focused in on my workout nutrition at all. I would never eat beforehand, but then I would never eat anything after doing any sort of exercise, strength training, whatever it was. But then I expected my body to withhold muscle. And that was like the most backwards way of thinking at the time. And of course, I didn't know any better, but really exercising and then getting in some sort of protein and carb source after the workout has been super beneficial for me, and it's really something I encourage people now to do, because your body needs it, especially after a workout and with all the stress that we put on our bodies. So yeah, it's a big thing, just getting in the mindset of eating breakfast, because I know intermittent fasting is still pretty popular amongst the crowd, and that's, you know, it works, but your body also needs that food and just the fuel source to keep going. It's interesting. And I know for me, I had a really bad habit of really packing in on lunch and then packing in a ton of food on dinner. And the way I was really able to turn that around was having like a mid-morning and then a mid-afternoon snack, okay, either like a protein bar and one that doesn't have a ton of sugar, kind of like, yeah, what you were saying before, because yeah, some of those are just loaded. And yeah, so my routine now is a mid-morning protein bar, and then right after work, I know, like around 4 or 5 o'clock, I always knew I was hungry, but then I would also reach to, you know, like fast food places around where I worked, or, you know, go to a gas station and try to snack on something, which was awful right at the time. And, you know, luckily I found a sustainable protein source that was able to, you know, keep me full until dinner later on, and then, awesome, you know, go for a walk after work or something. But yeah, those habits that we created, they're so hard to break sometimes, and getting into new ones, like it seems you have, is sometimes it's really difficult. So I'm really excited to hear that you were able to make all that happen for yourself and keep it going for so long. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's really challenging though, as you know, like, because, you know, you get a routine, like, but what if you travel for work, yeah, or what if you are out of, or, you know, you're out of your routine. So like this week, for example, you know, I usually try to work out like 3 or 4 mornings a week, or just have some movement in the morning. But like, I was visiting some family, and like, yes, I could have probably got up and walked around their neighborhood or do something, but I was like, oh, you know, I'm in a new, you know, whatever. So I didn't follow my routine for a few days. And then I came back and I didn't follow my routine the next day because I was kind of out of the habit. So what I'm saying is, for me, you have to keep it top of mind, because it can go, your routine can just revert really easily. It's a lot easier to sleep in than getting up and doing the workout, you know?
Right. Oh, for sure. Cause I did the same thing. Is this week, I have a Toastmasters meetings throughout the week, and they usually run pretty late. And then both of the clubs I'm in are about 45 minutes away. And the one night I got home, it was Thursday, and I was like, man, I am so beat and so tired. And normally I wake up around 4:30 for workouts. And I was just, yesterday morning I woke up, I was like, there's no way this is happening. But yeah, it's tough to stay consistent like that. But, you know, it really is so rewarding to keep that consistency going, you know, as you shared. Now, Sean, what kind of workouts are you doing? What's kind of kept you on track physically?
You know, this is an area I want to improve and diversify a little bit. But the main components, I found yoga as a base, like 2 times a week, has just been, amazing. You know, it's funny, I just went to a yoga class today. Yeah. And, you know, when I generally do yoga, it's generally like 80% female, maybe 90%, mm-hmm, right? Today it was really funny. There was like 10 people in the class, and there was 9 men in the class. I was like,
oh, wow,
where are we? Like, you know, right, like, you know, yoga, this is, I'm in Southern California in the Los Angeles area. You know, we do this, you know, yoga stuff and all these cool things. But, it was just funny. I was completely surprised. But, right, yoga, like, has helped both physically and mentally, I think, kind of as a base. So like, it's just something I can, you know, I enjoy. And then I also, the last few months, and I'm still getting more into it, is more strength training, doing like some circuit training, things like that. That's an area I want to get maybe some more guidance and more, get more into, but, and then I like to spin, and I have a couple spin classes I do. I love spinning. So those are kind of my main things. I find for myself that, if I write into my calendar, like the day before, like, okay, you're working out at this class at 6 a.m., I'm more likely to get up and do it than if I don't do that, you know?
Yes. Yes.
It's like writing things down for some reason for me, like I feel it's on my mind. I feel bad if I don't go through with it. Right. So that tends to help me get up. But, those are the kind of my main things right now.
I love it. Yeah, I have a similar practice where I have post-it notes kind of in my bathroom, and so whenever I wake up, I'm staring right at, you know, either, you know, quotes or something to just kind of get my mindset, you know, right for the day and get myself straight. And yeah, it's funny how you brought up the yoga routine, because I think especially as men, it's a little, I don't know if taboo is the word, but it's a it's a little interesting, you know, when you say I do yoga, a lot of guys especially are like, what, why? But it's so beneficial. And I know a couple times a week I will do one just at home and follow along on a YouTube video, and it really is so beneficial and really challenging. That's a lot. That's another thing, is most guys think that yoga is like, you know, just it's so easy.
But oh my gosh,
it's so challenging at times, and it really gets you sweating, gets you moving, and makes you way more flexible, which in turn helps with the strength training, like you were talking about. And
yeah,
so I think it's awesome that you're getting yourself out there and doing that. It's incredible. Did you have any kind of nervousness going into, you know, a class like that? And what got you over it, if you did?
Well, so I remember I went to, it was a few years ago, and my gym had these classes, and there was this one kind of popular class everybody's taking or whatever. So I went in there exactly how you thought. I go, oh, this is yoga. This is, come on, you know, anybody can do this.
Yeah.
Or not everybody can do it, but it's like, whatever, it's stretching and this and that, whatever. And I went in there and I was so humbled. I couldn't do 10% of what they were doing. And the yoga teacher was really nice, but she came over to me and she goes, I can tell you're really struggling. If, you know, just do what you can. And
yeah,
I was so embarrassed, you know, like I think I left early. I was just like, oh my God. And then I didn't do it for a while. And then I was taking a spinning class once, and the spin teacher also taught yoga. Yeah. And I was talking about how, like, sometimes in spinning, you feel like kind of in a meditative thing. You get kind of rolling and it feels good. She goes, you know, you get that in yoga, too. You should try yoga. And she goes, I offer a beginner's yoga class or whatever. And she was the person that kind of coached me and got me to – so I was comfortable. And then I was able to – you know, when I got to a class, I was a little bit more comfortable. And for a long time, I could only do – you know, 20-30% of the poses, and now maybe I'm at 40-50-60%. But
right.
But yeah, it was definitely hard to start. And I know, I mean, this is probably not exactly appropriate to say, but I would say if any single men who, you know, who enjoy women, maybe, I mean, it's there's a lot of women in these classes. Afterwards you can chat, but
absolutely.
I'm going to tell you, I've been doing yoga for 4 years. It's never helped me. I mean, it's not helped me, but I've, you know,
that's
I go there. It's just funny. But that's yeah, funny. I think that it's definitely helpful.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. We were talking about the Summit of Greatness before we hopped on and the recording here. But I don't know if you did, Sean, but I did one of the morning workouts with, is it Jacqueline Umhoff? Or Umhoff, I think that's how you pronounce her name. And it was a yoga routine. And oh my God, like you said, it was so humbling to do that. And like, you know, strength training for me has always been something that's relatively not easy, but you know, it's come pretty naturally for me. But oh God, doing yoga at first was especially there. And then I knew that's where I really saw the benefit of it. And I was like, man, at some way I need to keep this going, even if it's once a week, twice a week, whatever it is, and really just focus on it, because I felt so much lighter and looser after, and it felt really good. And it's something I encourage for everybody, because it really does kind of just open you up, loosen everything up, and get you moving. And really, I know for me, it mentally as well, it's a big thing, because it just brings your mental space into, you know, overcoming certain challenges and poses that you're not comfortable with and tackling them. It really is a good time. That's awesome that you've been able to keep it going for so long.
Yeah.
Now what do you think has been your biggest tool mentally going forward? I mean, obviously you've done the 30 program and were able to build consistency through the program, but did you have any kind of mental cues or anything you had to work on to keep yourself going?
Well, I would say if I did nothing else last year, and I just did gratefulness three times in the morning, I would be a happier. I mean, my happiness level would be higher. I mean, it just blows my mind how focusing on things you're grateful for every day, just writing them down, makes such a difference in your life. And I credit that with helping me like feel good about what I'm doing with my weight loss journey, with my mental health, with everything else. I think that's been like a quote unquote life hack that I think has really made a difference for me. And I've been pretty consistent with it. I have a journal that I keep, kind of a planner type thing. And the first thing it says on the journal, it says, write three things you're grateful for every day. And so you do that.
Yeah.
And it just kind of starts you off really well. So I don't know. Does that something, gratefulness practice or something like that in your routine?
Absolutely. And you know, it's something that's huge for me. Absolutely, Sean. And to the point where earlier this year, I've got the word gratitude tattooed on the inside of one of my fingers, because I noticed that, you know, how beneficial it was for me was it's something that it sounds like almost voodoo magic when you try to explain it to somebody who knows nothing about just like, you know, daily practice of gratitude. But it's something to look at every day, because it literally stares me in the face. And as I look at it now, you know, it's a constant reminder. So during my work days, if I'm having a lapse, or there's something that's, you know, kind of irking me the wrong way, I look at that and I shift my focus and I go, okay, this is bad, but what's going great, or what am I grateful for right now? And then I always hold my finger. And it's funny, because my coworkers notice and they'll go, why are you holding your finger? Because it's my right ring finger. And they always comment, they go, that's so weird that you're sitting there holding your finger. Why are you doing that? And then, you know, it's a cool talking point as well to be able to share that with others and be able to, people go, what's that tattoo on your finger? And then you go, you know, it just says gratitude, and these are the things I'm grateful for. This is why it's so important. It's a great talking point to be able to talk to somebody that isn't practicing, you know, daily gratitude, to get them kind of in the same wavelength and help them understand like why it's so important for me as well. And I love that you brought it up, and I love getting to share it more, because it is something that at first I thought was just kind of hokey, and it was, I just thought, man, how, there's no way that is that beneficial to somebody to be able to, you know, bring in other success in their life. But without gratitude, I mean, you and I wouldn't be talking on this podcast, and I wouldn't be losing the weight I am now. I wouldn't be doing all sorts of things. And it really was the biggest piece for me moving forward. And like you said, over the last year or two, I have just completely shifted my focus into gratitude, and it really has been a game changer. So I love, and thank you for bringing that up, because I love getting to talk about it and share more about it. So I definitely second your thought there.
Well, I'm so excited that you're as excited as I am about it, because like,
yes.
Sometimes I talk to people and they're like, oh, okay, great. Well, that's nice.
Right.
one other thing that I did, which is helpful, is I formed a mastermind group, or a little group. We have like a Slack channel, and we kind of keep each other inspired or whatever. And one of the practices is every day writing things you're grateful for. We have like a little gratitude channel in Slack, and every day somebody starts it and you write three, you know, whatever things you're grateful for. And then some, you hear the ring and you go, oh, so-and-so, okay, well, I got to do mine. And it's like, it just, and then you can read back like the channel, like from a month ago to like, oh my God. So if you get really depressed, you can like read back some of your things and go, wow, okay. Yeah. You know, so I'm so excited that somebody else like is as excited as I am about it.
Well, that's exactly why I got it tattooed, because I wanted to be able to look at it every day and go, because I, like I mentioned before, I have post-it notes kind of in my living space, but I, you know, you can't like carry, I mean, you could, but it would be kind of silly to keep a post-it note like on your hand or arm to look at all day. So I was like, what's the next best thing? So I got a tattoo, and you know, I've noticed that having the gratitude in my mind and on me now, it not only builds like the success in my life, but it also builds the happiness and being just genuinely happy every day as well. And that was one of the biggest pieces for me when it came to losing weight was, okay, I'm losing weight, but I'm miserable. And it was really shifting that focus to, okay, again, things aren't going great, or, you know, I'm having a challenge right now, but what's going well? What am I grateful for now? And when you look at it, there's so many things. And I think the other thing that comes to mind, the thing that helped me make a shift in my mental space was a book by Chris Lee. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
I am. I know Chris Lee. It's a 10 things or something.
Going to say, I have it right here now. It's 10 Principles of Abundance and Prosperity. Transform Your Life. And I will go back to this book every so often and just kind of read through it again. It's a pretty quick read, I'm sure you remember. And even for me, because I'm like the world's slowest reader. But getting to read those words again and again, and I remember sitting there reading it for the first time, and I just went, holy shit, it all makes sense now. And it was the light finally went on, and I was like, man, like everything became so much richer after that. Life just in general became so much happier, and it really helped me block out the noise when it came to negativity. And if I was having a bad day, like that wasn't the end of the world. And if I was having a bad moment, again, life goes on, and there's so many more beautiful moments to be had. And just to not dwell and focus on the negative things, because they will come up, but it's such a small moment and such a small blip on your day. And
yes,
there's so much more to be had. Like yesterday, it's funny we're talking about this now, because yesterday at my job, so just real quick, I worked for a skin surgeon, and the thing we do is we take the skin that's cancerous off of people, and we test it in a machine that freezes the tissue. And then we have a separate machine that prepares and cuts the tissue to test it. Well, our machine that freezes everything really fast broke down. And this thing turns the process from a, you know, like a 40, 45 minute process to like a 20 minute process. So God, first thing of the day we walk into is this machine is broken, and everyone's like, oh God, like this is going to be the worst day ever. I was like, no, it's not. We're going to have a great day. And turns out, again, we had a great day. And you just shift your focus. And I can't speak enough, and I'm talking too much about it now, but because I want to hear more from you. But yeah, just shifting your focus and what you're grateful for, it's so powerful.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
What were your three things today then, Sean? What can you share those with us?
I'm going to look at my book right now, but I did yoga right first thing in the morning. So, I didn't get a chance, but, you know, you mentioned, Toastmasters. Well, I joined Toastmasters, about March or April. Yeah. And I've done about 5 speeches so far, and, it's been great. I love Toastmasters. But yesterday, my one from yesterday, because I haven't done mine today, was Toastmaster presentation last night, because it was a really good one. Recorded a podcast and talking with my brother Mike. So those are my things I was grateful for yesterday. And I have, you know, if I flip through, I can see other ones and stuff, you know, health. It's always really health, family, Sometimes it's just as simple as I can walk, you know, I can get out of bed and walk, and, you know, it doesn't have to be a big thing, you know?
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. I think that's something that's easily overlooked as well is, yeah, something as small, you know, it's not even small because it's a big deal, but walking,
right, and
getting to put shoes on and, you know, just go have a day where you're free to do whatever you want. I mean, simple things like that we overlook. And it's funny you bring up Toastmasters because I gave a speech on Thursday night, and so funny story. I found out I was going to give the speech 10 minutes before the meeting started.
Oh my gosh.
I had a PowerPoint prepared for whenever my next speech was. Right. And we were able to get the projector running real quick, and we got the PowerPoint running. Well, I go to give the speech and PowerPoint doesn't work.
Oh.
And PowerPoint isn't working at all. And I had part of my speech was to record a video previously and play it. Well, video wasn't working at all either.
Oh gosh.
So everything that could go wrong went wrong. And then I just eventually said, screw it. And I turned off the projector. I had them flick on the lights all the way. And I just gave it, you know, gave it to the best I could orally. And, you know, to my mentor's credit at Toastmasters, my friend Michelle, she has helped me really step into becoming I'm now our club president, and really helped me focus on what I need to do to just be there for people every day and do my best, even like in a bad circumstance like that. So, you know, in my head, I was like, God, this is the worst presentation. Like, my evaluator is going to, you know, find everything to nitpick about me, about that speech. But luckily I was able to turn it around and focus on the message and what I wanted to get across. And funny enough, the speech was about podcasting and getting started on a podcast and how to get moving. And, you know, it was something I was passionate about and was able to pour my passion out, even though everything wasn't working. So yeah, it's shifting your focus. So rather than me focusing on, well, crap, my PowerPoint and everything I had prepared is ruined, and, you know, dwelling on that, I was able to focus on, okay, how can I now step forward and really deliver on what I want to speak about and what is the importance of this message? So, yeah, it's so important.
That's a good tip, is not rely on the technology. It's the message, not the, you know, the means of message. It's you they want to hear. They don't want to see a PowerPoint.
Exactly. So, exactly.
Awesome.
And, you know, one of the things I tell my club members now is I am the worst about preparing speeches because I'm sure you can relate, Sean. So one of my first speeches was one where you had to do like a research project and have all this stuff together. And it was like my worst. It was one of my worst ones because I was trying to remember all these facts and kind of have a really structured speech, right? And then the next couple speeches I gave, I had a topic in mind and I knew I wanted to hit certain points. And then I just let myself just kind of flow and just passionately speak about whatever I was talking about. And those speeches definitely made me feel better and they seemed to hit home with people a lot better. Mm. And rather than having this structured, you know, certain things I needed to hit, or, you know, just this, you know, 2000 page paper typed out that I needed to hit every single word, word for word, it just being able to talk free and being able to convey the message I want to, that's something I tell people now. And especially for our club members is, you know, try not to focus on making every word right. Try to focus on getting your topic conveyed the way you want to and speak from within. And it just makes a richer speech, I think, and really helps. It eases your mind too, because then you're not having to focus on memorizing word for word for word. You just speak and let it come from within you. And I think those speeches just come out a lot more or less, you know, less forcefully, and you look more comfortable. But yeah, I've got a bad habit of that, is preparing at the last second what I want to talk about and then going up and speaking. It's pretty funny, but luckily I've kind of mastered the craft now. But
I'd love to be a guest in your club if I'm ever in the Columbus area. I'm not going to be in Columbus, but I don't know if we'll have time during that during the summer.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll be awful busy.
Yeah. But yeah, that's great. I do credit Toastmasters as far as like weight loss, it's just another element to help you be more confident. And when you feel more confident, then you feel better about making your food choices, and you follow your plans a little bit better. It's like weight loss for me is a part of the whole thing. It's not the thing. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
And that's one of the things I've learned. So I don't, if I slip a little bit, I've had some bad days, I don't, my whole identity is not going to suffer. I just have to get back on track and get back on the program. But yeah, it's part of your wellness, whole wellness package, for sure. Yeah.
And I'm sure I don't want to speak for you, but I'm sure you can accredit, your weight loss and Toastmasters to starting your podcast as well. And having that confidence to be able to get up there and do it, because I know for me, it was huge. And I'm sure a lot of it, you can kind of relate back to those as well.
Yes. I mean, it's all part of it. Like, you just feel a little bit more alive and more, just more present. You just want to do a little more, you have a little more energy, and you want to share things. And I'm sure that's probably one of the reasons why you want to do a podcast, was because to share the things you're learning and to talk to people and stuff. So yeah, I agree with that for sure.
Right. And I know, I'm sure you can again relate as well, but I know starting my weight loss journey, several years ago, like before I even knew what I was doing now, I wish I had a resource like your podcast in mind to be able to listen to people that have been through things and had these experiences. And, unfortunately I had to learn the hard way and then kind of build myself up, from the bottom. But I only wish I had those resources and had those things to be able to utilize. So I think it's amazing what you're doing to be able to share such a powerful message and being able to help people relate to you and to your guests. And yeah, I think it's beautiful what you're doing, Sean.
Yeah. And I think really, like I always say, like, if you can change one person, you can change the world, because stories, and if you can just reach one person with your podcast, and I've had to learn, and I've also done some documentary work and stuff, but I've had to learn that it's not about me, and it's about helping others. And that's the hardest transition, and I fight it a lot. Like, starting a podcast, I want numbers, I want this, I want that, but then I just remember, like, if one or two people out there get a message from something, you've done your job, you're sharing good stuff. And that's why, what you're doing is amazing, because I know there's somebody out there you're touching, and you're motivating, and you've touched their life. If everybody touched somebody else's life like that, we'd be great. So that's podcasts. I think the reason why they're getting so popular is an opportunity to share and to meet different people and to exchange ideas. And it's just wonderful. So I'm really impressed that you're doing this. And like I said, I think on your Instagram feed, and I was just so amazed by your consistency, and you were always, I have copied your style a little bit, Ryan. Like, were you?
Oh yeah.
Where you walk and you talk. I love that. It's so like, you're so cool, that your approach there. And so I followed a lot. So I didn't always comment on every time. I think I commented a few times, but I really, enjoyed that. And that's how I found out about your podcast, actually, because, you were talking about it and stuff. But yeah, it's all good,
Yeah, and that's the thing I love about social media as well, is that I can, or we can go on there and speak freely, or speak while doing something, or if a thought comes up, and have a direct way to impact people that way as well, and just share a little piece of happiness in a day, or share a little, happy message, or just something to help people along, whatever that may be. And again, I know a lot of people use social media as like a marketing tool or whatever, or a way to, ploy, business techniques or whatever, but it really is such a way to connect with people. And that's one of the biggest things I've learned, is it's so fulfilling to be able to help and talk to people and get them moving in the right direction and keep them, on the straight and narrow, if you will, and just being able to impact somebody like that. And like you getting a message once a day that says, this really inspired me, or this really helped keep me going. Like that is so fulfilling, and it's so amazing to get those every so often.
Yeah. And the thing is too, is like, social media isn't all like roses and lollipops or whatever, unicorns and lollipops. It, you know, it is for a lot of people. I mean, but I've tried, and it's very hard, is to share like some private, like, you know, more personal things, like some real like life struggles.
Right.
And I know that in your podcast, I listened to a couple of your episodes, especially your first one, where you really shared like you're a human being and you went through real shit, you know,
yeah.
Sorry for my language. And
no.
I am trying to do that more, and that's really hard for me to be able to be as open as like you have been and stuff. But I think it's important because we connect with real stuff. I mean, all of us go through this hard stuff, and weight loss is hard, and weight loss usually is part of other issues that you're dealing with, or weight gain or whatever. So I'm trying, and I really admire the people that are trying to just share real information, you know, like just their daily things that have been traumatic or happy. It's all ranges of things, not just like the awesome stuff, vacations and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's when I made my first episode, that's the thing I had was in mind was, you know, I'm going through this thing and I have dealt with something and I feel alone, but I know I'm not. And I need to put this out there to be able to help somebody that's going through something similar or somebody that's, you know, has a little more insight than me that may be able to help me. You know, I don't know everything, and I would love any insight from, you know, people or to anything, but it's hard to be vulnerable, but it's so fulfilling and rewarding to be able to hear back from people that are like, you know, I get where you've been and I can totally relate and thank you for sharing. And that's what I try to do more of, and being able to open up like that is so difficult, but again, so fulfilling. But, and Sean, I want to be cautious of our time here, but I do have one final question for you, and
yes,
I'm sure you're familiar with it. It's something I ask everybody at the end of every episode here. Now, Sean, let's say you're meeting somebody for the first time and they're starting on their weight loss journey, but for whatever reason, you're only going to have a few minutes with this person and you can only give them three pieces of advice to really get going. What do you think you would share with somebody like that?
That's a good question. I would say the first one is find a plan and follow it. It might not be the best plan for you, but just start. Start something that you can, you know, that at least get going, you know?
Yeah.
That's the hardest part. You can always adjust and stuff. So that would be definitely one. And the other thing is, I would say this is just part of your process. Your whole life isn't weight loss.
Yes.
So it's part of your life, and, you know, focus on all the other things in your life, as well. The third thing I would say is it's going to suck and it's going to take a lot of time, but you're going to feel a little bit better every day. So you're not going to see the results like every day, because we don't see incremental changes like that. But if you focus on the fact that you feel better every day, then all of a sudden the days collect, and then you look in the mirror and go, oh, okay, I've noticed a little bit of a difference. But focus on just feeling better and let the weight take care, you know, do the things you need to do. And I think that will help. So that'll be my list.
I love it. I love it. Sean, thank you so much for coming on today. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And
my pleasure.
How can we get in touch with you? How can we, you know, keep in contact with you? And where can we find your podcast at?
Sure. So the best way to get a hold of me is on Instagram at Sean Steve Block, and that's Block with an H. And my podcast is called Soul Tears, where we share emotional aha moments that we all have. And you can find that on any of your podcast apps. And it's just Soul Tears, two words.
I love it. Sean, thank you again so much for sharing. And we will definitely reach out and find Soul Tears and listen to it, because it has been an amazing start for you. And I can't wait to see where it goes. So thank you again for coming on. And I'm so grateful for your time today.
Thank you, Ryan. It's been a pleasure.
I want to thank Sean again for joining me on today's episode, and man, I love his energy, and I love getting to hear his insight into his mindset and then his weight loss journey as well. Listening to this one back as I edited this episode, it was super insightful and inspiring to hear his story again and just his great energy. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, please feel free to share this episode with a friend, again, somebody you feel this message may be of good use to. And in case you haven't been told this today, remember, you are worth your dreams.